spitting, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
We're back here to another fabulous week here on the Tony Sands Show, and the topics we have for you today will blow your mind. But before we get into all that, talking about sports and what's going on in the world, let's give a special thanks and tribute to those involved in the 9/11 tragedy. This day will always be remembered by me because my youngest son was born on this day. He is 23 years old today. Deshaun Sanders, 23 years old on this date. So it will be a day that will be remembered here in my household for a long time. That's like I said, for a long time, because my son was born on this day. And on this day, as you know, one of the worst tragedies to ever hit the United States soil happened with the terrorist attack on the World Trade Center buildings. So I had to say that. I wanted to get that out because I feel we got to understand what has happened to America post 9/11 versus pre 9/11. The way we get on planes, the way we go to football games, the way America is being run has become so much different. But now, let's get into some of the topics that we have today for you. Johnny Manziel. We're going to talk a little bit about Johnny Manziel. Can Johnny Manziel get it done this time? Can Johnny Manziel get it done this time with Alabama? Will Nick Saban let Johnny Manziel do what he did to him last year and go on to become the Heisman Trophy candidate? We're also going to get into which quarterback had the best performance in week one. Which quarterback had the best performance in week one? And why isn't Cam Newton getting some of the criticism that Steve Tannehill of the Miami Dolphins is getting? Why is he not getting some of the criticism? Because when you look at it across the board, I think Ryan Tannehill is playing better ball than Cam Newton. But no one is saying much about Cam Newton. We're going to dig a little bit into that topic to find out why people are not saying much to Cam Newton. And should criticism start going toward Cam Newton here in this third year of his career? Because I feel it should be. Because if you're not playing and not uplifting your team to a level that it should be uplifted, I think we have some problems. And it should happen because it's happening down in Miami. And I'm going to tell you, not only do the Hurricanes have to worry about the NCAA, here we go, another institution, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's right, I said sex, drugs, rock and roll, and academic misconduct is taking place on another campus. Find out what school that is here on the Tony Sands Show. But without further ado, let's bring on my main man. He led off, he finished the show for me last week, my main man, Bibbs, out of the what? Great state of Texas. What's up, B? What's going on, man?
Oh, man, what's going on, Tony?
Man, I'm ready to go. This show is so much going on in the news. I'm trying to find out, Calvin or is it Johnson? Who's handling what? P. Diddy is handling Johnson. The main man, Calvin, is handling Calvin.
Yeah, that's what the commercials say.
Johnson is handling the things that happens off the field. Calvin is handling the things that goes on the field. That's, well, you know what that commercial, I'm going to tell you, you know what that commercial remind me of, though? You got to say that commercial remind you of Michael Jordan and Spike Lee. It's a spinoff. To me, it's a spinoff of the Michael Jordan, Spike Lee deal.
Yeah, back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah. It reminded me, when I saw that commercial, that was the first thing that came to mind was Michael Jordan and Spike Lee. And
I didn't even I didn't even understand the commercial at first. I was watching. I'm like, I don't get it. But I get it now, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the hectic life that a guy like Calvin Johnson leads, he must be two people. He needs someone to handle Johnson, you know, because Johnson is the one that's getting all the fame and all the celebrityism. And Calvin is the guy that, hey, I'm just a blue-collar work guy. I'm going to work to get it done. So, right, Calvin, right. You handle Calvin, and we're going to let P. Diddy, part of Calvin, handles the media and all the celebrity. Now, if that was you, I'm going to tell you something. If you was able to split between Johnson and Calvin, which one would you like to be, Johnson or Calvin?
Nah, I ain't going to lie. I would like to be Johnson.
I'm telling you. That's what I said. I want to be Johnson. Johnson.
I want all the fame. I want all the fame. I want all the glory.
Everything.
I work hard for this, you know?
And if you know P. Diddy in the commercial, P. Diddy is living it up. P. Diddy is living it up. You got it. He's just smiling while Calvin looking back over his shoulder like, man,
yeah,
I got to go to work, man. I got to handle this stuff on the field in order to keep Johnson smiling. I got to go and get the work done on the field. I got to get it done on the field. But I'm going to tell you, man, that, to me, it's a beautiful commercial. But let's get into this now. Now, you know, as I told people this, when I opened the show, it is 9-11. 9-11 means two things to me. My baby boy was born on 9-11. And then, as you know, the most horrific thing that ever happened on America's soil took place in New York City on this day, 9-11.
Right.
The bombing of the World Trade Center and the way that we do things has changed post 9-11. As I was talking when I opened up the show, the way we get on planes, the way we travel, the way we even go to football games now has changed due to 9-11. Dude, what were you the day of 9-11? If you can remember back, where were you at?
I remember exactly where I was at. I was sitting in my ninth grade IPC class, Mr. Elkertine, when everything went on. And we got the. And it's funny because he was from the Middle East.
Wow.
You know, I went to one of those schools where it was an inner city school and the kids were kind of, you know, a little hectic. And when they found out what happened and who supposedly behind the situation, they kind of gave Mr. Elkertine a hard time about it. And I remember sitting in the class like, man, I don't think he had nothing to do with it. But, you know, kids were going home early. The parents were kind of like freaking out. You know, and my mom was like, nah, you staying at school. They ain't bombing over there where you at. So you staying at school today.
Hey, our parents, and as I say, a black parent will say, nah, bro, I ain't coming to pick you up. You gonna stay in school, and Mr. Zuckerby gonna give you what he gotta give you, that lesson. Because that's why he here. He going to give you that lesson. You ain't coming home. You ain't using this as no excuse to come home. You ain't that distraught to where I got to leave work and come and pick you up. I'm quite sure that happened with a lot of other parents.
That's exactly what happened. That's what my mom told me. Said, well, you think you going home today? Nah. Nobody coming to pick you up.
It happened in New York. We feel sorry. But you got to get your education. And that's going to take place. Now, you said they was criticizing the teacher. What were some of the things that, and I know kids, one thing about kids, they can be very cruel. They can be very cruel. What were some of the things that were being said toward the teacher?
I'm just going to give you a specific thing, and you probably blow your mind. One of the kids in my class, I don't even remember what the kid's name. I think he actually got kicked out of school for doing this. He went up to the front of the classroom, got the American flag off the thing, and ran around the class and was like, we're going to get you, Mr. Elkertine. We're going to get you.
Oh, man.
I was just like, you know, I'm sitting there, ninth grade student. I'm a pretty quiet kid. Like, wow, I can't believe he's really sitting. He's walking around here doing this.
Correct.
The police come to the classroom and get him out. You know, it was a threat. That was basically a threat to, you know, this man. And so he was kicked out of school for that. I remember that happening just like it was yesterday.
He picks up the flag, takes the flag, runs around the room telling the teacher that he is going to, that they're going to get him. What was the reaction on the teacher's face you know, looking at this take place?
You know, he tried to explain to us that he wasn't from Afghanistan. He was actually from, if I'm not mistaken, he was from, like, I don't even remember. But he wasn't from where the actual Taliban and you know, where they were from. He was just from, he just looked of the part because, you know, the beard and the skin tone, you know, and his name.
Correct, kind of correct.
The part, but he wasn't even from there. He kind of gave us a little speech, like, I'm not from that part, you know. I am from the Middle East, but I'm not from where these people are that's getting blamed for it right now from. So, you know, I have nothing to do with that. He just kind of gave us that little lecture. And, you know, class went on after this kid was kicked out, but it was kind of, you know, heck of a day throughout the whole day. You know, just, you know, once you lose your focus early in the morning, like what happened, that was early in the morning, probably like 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning when we found out about it. You know, and we all lost our focus. You know, school was not the same that day. It was just a little hectic throughout the whole day.
And that was, you know, my thing. It was a crazy day. You know, I can remember, you know, I was sitting at home, and it was crazy the way things were happening because no one knew what was going on. You didn't know what you was watching on television. Was this part of some type of movie that New York City is doing? You just didn't know. You did not know at the time what was going on. And that blew my mind also to a great extent. But let's get deeper into the show. We're going to go to a commercial break in about a minute. But let's get into this thing now. As I stated, another school has hit sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Oklahoma State has hit.
Cowboy.
Hit sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Now, why is this not getting, to me, why is this not getting the attention that the University of Miami received when their situation broke out? When their situation broke out, I'm not hearing this thing, you know, they're making outside the lines on it. I'm not hearing any of that stuff. I'm not hearing any of that.
Well, you know, I think it's more so because the Miami situation happened to deal with, you know, some kids that were more recent. Not to mention some of the kids students from the past, but it had some recent, you know, incidents that were occurring at the time. But this situation with Oklahoma State, a lot of this stuff happened over like 10 years ago. And it's really it's nothing really that the NCAA can do right now. You know, I mean, all they really have is the people that have come out and did the Sports Illustrated article that they know that Mason snitched on Oklahoma State. But you really don't know if that's true. I mean, they can, you know, launch an investigation, but at the end of the day, what can they you know, levy sanctions against Oklahoma State? I doubt it because it was so long ago. And that's why I feel like it hasn't been, you know, it hasn't been as big as the Miami scandal, as, you know, as opposed to the Oklahoma State scandal. That's my opinion as to why they haven't got as much attention as Miami has per se.
You know, I'm looking at some of the names that's being brought up here with the Oklahoma State. The only big name that's among the players allegedly seen receiving. Improper academic help was the Dallas Cowboys. Dez Bryant's name was being brought up in this article, allegedly receiving this.
Right, right. And, you know, we actually had got rumor about that, you know, during his draft time, when he was getting ready for the, you know, draft. They were saying that he wasn't going attending classes anymore. He was people were taking his test for him, and he's basically been given grades at the time. We heard about that before. And that's another reason why I think, you know, it hasn't been, I guess, blown up as big as it could possibly be. And
correct.
With that only being one big, big name guy, Dez Bryant, I mean, what can you do? He's already not graduated. He's already in the NFL and playing for the Dallas Cowboys now. It's not like you can do anything to him. You know, and you really can't do much to the school because it's all allegations as of right now.
Right, then, like you said, you got to figure, Brandon Wheaton came out and spoke on Wednesday and said the SI story was not accurate. Okay, you said it's not accurate. You didn't say it wasn't the truth. You said it was not accurate. So with it not being accurate, That means there's something, there's where there's smoke, there's fire.
Right.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
And you know what, Tony? And I just want to say this. I actually believe, and it might not be true all the way. It might be kind of exaggerated in different points throughout the story. But I believe that, you know, some of those things were happening. Because if you go back to, what, early 2000s, late 90s, Oklahoma State was not a good program in football. They weren't good at all, you know. And then all of a sudden, by 2004, 2005, they started to creep up and started to get closer and closer to their state neighbors, Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Sooners. They started to compete in the Big 12. And he was like, okay, well, maybe they're getting better athletes now, you know. Yeah, and how is that happening out of the blue?
But also post Big 12. Now you got to understand they started making a run a little bit in the late in 88, 89. You got to figure 88 was the year that they had Hartley Dykes,
right,
and Barry Sanders. And you got to figure that was the year. I still remember that game vividly. Is the year that they gave them in Oklahoma went to compete for the Big 8 championship. Oklahoma beat Oklahoma State by, I think it was a touchdown, but they started creeping up because people started understanding, hey, there is another school in Oklahoma, and they started making a little run, and then they died off a little bit, and then the program kind of died down a little bit. But then you got to understand also, now, and when people talk about it, they have really one of the richest boosters.
Yeah. Ooh, Boone Pickens.
Boone Pickens, hey, I him and your boy with Mr. Nike with Oregon are two of the richest donors to schools and the college football. Period.
Right, but Boone Pickens had an interview on. I think I heard this morning on ESPN that he gave over $500 million to Oklahoma State.
Correct.
That's a lot of guap. That's a lot of money.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you something. I can remember back. I can remember back in, what was it, in the 80s. The first time I had an opportunity to go on the campus was 88. When we was getting ready to play, it was me matching up against Barry Sanders. And I matched up against Barry Sanders, and we had a chance to walk the campus, and they was talking. These guys talking about, man, hey, but we live good over here. I'm like, huh? Yeah. We live good over here. So I'm like, wow. You know, here I am, a young college freshman. I'm seeing these boys drive up in nice cars to the practice facility on Friday. I'm like, wow, these boys must be eating over here. And I'm trying to figure out what's in their steak. And that was the first time I started hearing people names like Boone Pickens. I'm like, right. Man. You know, the guy, I remember Harley Dykes talking to him. He was like, man, we don't lie to this stuff. Man, Friday be our cool day. Cool, chilling. I'm like, wow. But then, now we hear sex, drug, and rock and roll. Let's get deeper, be into sex, drug, and rock and roll right after this commercial. We're going to head to a commercial break, and then we're going to dig deep into what I mean by sex, drugs, and rock and roll here on The Tony Sands Show.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport. Just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show, and as I told you, we was talking about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. How much, and we've heard, and you're hearing about it so much now. So much now with the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Everything tends to always fall back to where the word sex and drugs is involved. Always. That tend to always... Sex is always tender. And now they're talking about how These guys were being treated on their recruiting trips where the girls were giving them sex and things like that. I'm going to tell you, B, that went on before Oklahoma State.
Right.
That went
right.
on before the University of Miami. That went on before all this stuff. That was going on way back in the day. It was just a tradition that was carried out. It was something that was carried out throughout the years, because they felt that is the way that you get it. That is the way that you get people to come to your campus.
Right.
That is the
way
you
get them. They always say sex sells.
And it does.
And that's the honest to God truth. It does.
And in a big business like that, like college football, it sells tremendously. You a young guy out of high school, you just all American, all of a sudden you arrive on the campus and you thought you've seen so many beautiful girls, but you haven't seen no girls until you get to a major college campus. And when you see all the girls, you may have seen some girls, but you get to a major college campus, then you see all the girls. Man, I'm gonna tell you, if you ain't a guy that is grounded, then you got some problems.
Definitely.
You got some problems, because I'm going to tell you, that sells tremendous. That's the first sale that they use. Forget all showing you around, especially because, you go on this campus, and all of a sudden, you hook up with one of the guys. Normally, you'll hook up with, like, say if I'm from Florida, normally they're going to hook me up with a guy from Florida or a guy from my city or my community. They're going to hook me up with them. So this guy already know the landscape, because naturally they don't hook you up with a freshman, because a freshman don't know the landscape unless it's a freshman that's playing from your area. But naturally you'll get a guy that's around a junior that's playing. They don't want to put you around somebody that's not playing, because that guy there is not going to give you the truth. He's going to give you the other side. He's going to give you a side that you don't want. So they hook you up with a guy that's playing, balling out, doing his thing and everything like that. And this guy know the landscape. He's been at all the parties. He's known around the campus. And all of a sudden then, this guy knows the girls. So with this guy knowing the girls, when you go to the party, and then you get a hostess too now. You get a hostess. You get a host and a hostess. And sometimes the hostess is some beautiful girl that they set up to make sure that this girl entice you enough, rather mentally, to bring you back or give you something physically to know that you are coming back. One of the two things going to happen with that hostess. She's going to entice you enough with her looks or pizzazz, the way you're going to say, well, I got to get back there because I got to get that hostess. Or you're going to say, that hostess is going to leave you and say, ooh, I got to get back here because I love being with that hostess. Two of those things always goes into effect when you go on this campus. It is a given, and it didn't start with Miami, and it won't end with Oklahoma State. You dig deep enough into all the college campuses, and you will see a lot of that stuff taking place, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And I'm quite sure sometimes when they say drugs, sometimes it be guys that have failed drug tests, down to guys like back in Oklahoma with Swiss. I think the downfall that came with Swisher and the University of Oklahoma was when Charles Thompson and Jamel Holloway and that era came on. Those guys was really living the pro living, the pro style of living at the college level. Now, those guys really was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I played around those guys' era. And when they say sex, drugs, and rock and roll, that was going on. You got to remember what Mr. Thompson was busted by the feds for having a drug ring going on at Oklahoma. And did some time. Wow. That was a quarterback. Now he did some time for that. They had cars, they had luxury cars, they had a lot of things going on with that scandal. They was the Oklahoma State and the Miami at that time. Now the people down here in Florida is having an issue with the way this thing is being handled between Miami and Oklahoma State. They don't feel like Oklahoma State has gotten what they should get media wise like Miami did. Because, here in Florida, these are Hurricane fans here in South Florida, and they want another school to be handled the way they were handled, because they know the NCAA, or they felt the NCAA did not handle their situation the way that it should have been handled. So they're screaming, hey, man, Oklahoma, And you can hear it. I was listening to some of my guys' shows today, and you can hear the guy, people going, hey, they're not getting treated the way we was treated. Why? Why?
And I think I have an answer to that. Like I told you earlier, Tony, some of those allegations that were coming up against Miami had to do within the past, what, 5-6 years. It had something with the guy that's in prison right now that, you know, told that he was giving money to the team.
The reason Evan Shapiro.
Right. See, I don't even remember his name because he's such a...
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, you know, I don't even want to remember his name. But, you know, that's more recent than the allegations that they were saying that happened with, you know, Oklahoma State. And that's why I believe that Miami is getting scrutinized and punished, you know, far more harder than what Oklahoma State has been or will get, you know, because that was just so long ago. And they don't. And what can you do to something that happened 10 years or even longer than that? You know, what can you do about it now? You know,
Now, you got to understand this. With the big bad NCAA, now these are the guys that are sitting up high looking down on the people down below. They can always punish Oklahoma State still. Regardless if it happened 10 years, there's no statute of limitation on allegations with the NCAA.
Right.
It doesn't. There's no statute of limitation that happens with the NCAA. If we decide we want to come back at you, we can come back at you because guess what? There's no one that governs us. We govern ourselves. We set our own rules when we need things changed. And that, I think, is the part that the people in South Florida are having a hard time with, because it was the same NCAA that used Nevin Shapiro, bought him, paid his cell phone, also used the same lawyer. Now, where does that happen in America in our judicial system that the defendant and the state can use the same lawyer? It doesn't exist.
That's a horrible conspiracy, man. You know, I think I heard that what you're saying, but it never registered in my head like that. And now I'm listening to you say that had to be a conspiracy. They hired this guy to bring down the University of Miami. You know, they used him to bring down the University of Miami.
They paid the lawyer. They paid his lawyer somewhere in somewhere $30,000. For information that she brought to the NCAA. Now, first of all, a lot of this information shouldn't have been brought out because it was done in a civil suit where that information shouldn't have been privy to the NCAA, but they used that anyway as a means to say, you know, hey, this is how we're going to use it. We had this information to have. And I think that's why the NCAA is very walking a thin line now on how they are going to handle the University of Miami.
Right, definitely.
How they're going to handle and how they will proceed. And that's why even with the Johnny Manziel situation, a lot of people were such out in outrage because how it happened within 24 hours. They gave the Johnny Manziel his sanctions within 24 hours of them talking with them. Now here it is, 3 years. And I've never seen an investigation with the NCAA go 3 years. University of Miami is off to a heck of a start this year.
Yeah.
It'll be a sad state of affairs if they come down with some sanction that tells them that they cannot play in, if they make it to the ACC championship, that they can't play in it. I think at that point, University of Miami needs to look at suing the NCAA. And if they sue the NCAA, an institution, I think it will become the fall of the NCAA, the big bad wolf.
Yeah,
the big bad wolf.
I agree. I definitely agree, and I'm almost to the point where they should be suing them right now, because this is ridiculous. That there's no way that they should be still, you know, this investigation should still be ongoing. And like you said, the University of Miami has gotten off to a great start. They knocked out Florida last week, and you know Al Golden has turned the program around, and they're balling out there, you know, and for them to try to come down on them towards the end of the season or somewhere at some point in this season, that'd be a travesty, man, for the University of Miami and for those kids that had nothing to do with what was going on in that program when all the bad things were occurring or were going on. That's terrible. That'd be terrible for these kids. It'd be unfair at the end of the day. It'd be totally unfair to those students or to those athletes.
And despite all that, they are still getting within the top 3 recruiting classes in the country. Now to talk recruits, talk, we still on college football. Hey, man, let's get into your state. Johnny Manziel, is he ready this weekend for Alabama?
You know what, man? I think Johnny Manziel's going to play his game. But I if you give Nick Saban 2 weeks to prepare for a guy, there's no way that he won't be have his team fired up and ready to take on this Texas A&M team. I think it'll be a good game. I don't think it'll be a blowout by any means, but, you know, they're playing at Texas A&M, so that I give that advantage to Texas A&M. But like I said, Nick Saban is far the best, you know, collegiate coach in the NCAA right now. He'll have his boys ready, ready to come out. And they lost last year. They've been watching this video. They said the video's been playing in the weight room all off season. The boys are ready for
the signs, the posters, everything up in his weight room all off season. They spent all off season reading this within their weight room. While you're in the weight room working out, you're seeing this. This is giving you motivation. And now we're on the eve. 48 hours. And the Clash of the Titans will begin. The top college guy, Heisman Trophy winner, will take on one of the number one program within the last 5 years of college football will clash in A&M Field. The 12th man, that's known as the 12th man. Do this 12th man helps A&M and Johnny Manziel to knock off Alabama once again. With all the distractions now, with all the distractions that went on this offseason with Johnny Manziel, do you think Johnny Manziel has gotten his mind back on track to understand the magnitude of this game, what people, what the naysayers will be saying either way, if he win versus if he lose? Will they say, being that he wasn't focused enough and that was is the result of why he's losing? Or do they say, if A&M win, hey, let Johnny Manziel be Johnny Manziel? Which
other game
do you think is going to
rip? Man, either one. Like, if they win, like you said, if Texas A&M is able to pull this out and win this game at home, then they'll say that's exactly what the media, ESPN and all these media hubs will say. Let Johnny Manziel be Johnny Manziel. You know, if they lose, you better get ready for the criticism. They're going to say everything that he did this offseason is coming to the light once again. And that's going to be the excuse or the reason that they believe why Texas A&M went down. But, at the end of the day, I think it's going to be a great game. I'm excited. I'll be in the front of the TV watching it. I'm assuring the rest of the world probably be sitting in front of the TV ready to watch this game. It'll probably be one of the best games. TV ratings-wise, it'll probably be one of the all-time greatest games in college football.
I was trying to get the interview because they said Kirk Herbstreit had an interview. He got an exclusive interview with Johnny Manziel, and I was trying to find that interview because I really wanted to look at that interview, and the only person that they would give it to supposedly was Kirk Herbstreit, because they trusted Kirk Herbstreit's character and judgment that they would risk doing this interview 48 hours before this game, that they may play it on Saturday.
Right, right. No, they probably will. They probably will, And what, Tony? They actually gave Johnny Manziel the opportunity to speak to the media last week for the first time.
Yeah,
nobody ever got the opportunity to see him speak to the media, and I actually think he handled himself very well. He answered every question. He didn't shy away from anything. He answered it with intelligence and maturity, just like what a Heisman quarterback is supposed to. So I do give him a thumbs up for that, but we'll see. Against Alabama, because I know those Roll Tide, they coming, and they want revenge, and it's going to be a great game.
You better believe it's going to be a good game, because they understand that this game here can decide if they make it to the national championship. Because when you look at A&M's schedule now, A&M dealing with the SEC, I think the toughest games they got in the SEC will be Arkansas and Ole Miss. Arkansas and Ole Miss, I think, are the two toughest games that they have on their schedule in the SEC. They don't have LSU, and they don't have So if they can get, you know, they have some of the tougher SEC schools. So if they can get by Alabama, there's a possibility A&M could be playing for a national championship. And now, does this heightens Johnny Manziel's potential second time around of winning the Heisman Trophy? I think it do.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. That's a notch. That's not a question, Tony. If he wins this game and they're able to win out for the rest of the season, I guess go undefeated. Yeah, I don't think without a question that Johnny Manziel will be the Heisman Trophy winner for the second year in a row, consecutively. You know, I don't have a doubt in my mind unless he has some abysmal games. I doubt it because we've seen him these past two games that they've played. Yeah, granted, they were against lesser competition, you know, but he still did what he's done previously as a freshman. Same thing. Ran the ball, threw the ball.
And like you said, ran it, threw it, did whatever it takes to get the job done. And I was excited to see, like I said, because I'm a Johnny Manziel fan because I played the game like Johnny Manziel. I talked trash. I was a hyped up type of guy, and I don't believe that you take that from a kid because that is his game. That makes him who he is. And right. If you go to tend to, you know, tampering with that, you tell me to tone down, you have changed the game.
Oh, I play the game. For me. And that's his edge, you know. That's how he gets the edge.
He's changed,
you know,
the game.
That pumps him up to make him want to play at that elite level or helps him play at an elite level. If he take away the way he talks, like he talks back, and you know, and he always woofs at the, you know, the opposing defenses. But that, like I said, like you said, that's how you played the game. That probably helped you succeed as a college athlete, you know. And I believe that's the same thing that helps him succeed as a college athlete. Not to mention he's a dynamic athlete, but his attitude and the way he carries himself on the field, his moxie and his, you know, kind of arrogant, that all feeds into the Heisman Trophy winner. You know what I'm saying?
That's
why he's who he is.
And see that's my thing of it. You know, it makes him who he is. It keeps him hype, and I'm quite sure his teammates love it. And see, that's what a lot of people, you know, you hear so many people talk about, you know, this, you know, they're saying this, they're saying that, and like when you're in that locker room, guys, I'm gonna tell you something. Whatever make you win, that's all what counts. When it comes down,
it's all that matters.
Especially when you're talking about the quarterback position. We're talking about the quarterback position. That's all what matters. Now, we're on quarterbacks. And some quarterbacks, let's jump to the NFL. Some quarterbacks had a big week. Some quarterbacks had a bad week. Top five quarterbacks. And we just saying top five quarterbacks overall in the league. I'm going to give you my top five. And I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you my top five in this order that's playing right now. Now, I'm going to tell you my guy that I got to put in there. And some people, and I'm going to put these two guys at probably 2A and a 2B. So I'm going to really give you six, but it's five because I'm using a 2A and a 2B.
Okay.
I'm going to say Sharp. I'm going to say Drew Brees. I'm going to throw Luck in mine. 2A and 2B, Colin Kaepernick and Michael Vick. And you know who the number one guy is. Peyton Manning.
By far. Yeah, definitely. You know, I kind of agree with you on all of those, though. Peyton Manning, number one. Drew Brees, number two. Colin Kaepernick, number three. I have to say Michael Vick, number four. And a lot of people in Houston, I'm always in Houston because that's my hometown, they don't like Matt Schaub in Houston for the Texans. But what I saw him do in that Monday night game against the San Diego Chargers is totally different from what I see him do in the previous years. He's made some throws and some plays that, you know, put him in my top five for week one. Now, it might change throughout the course of the season. But he played like a top five quarterback, and I'm gonna give him a top five honor. And like you said, Andrew Luck, one man show over in Indy. He did his thing against the Oakland Raiders, but that was the Oakland Raiders. That defense is abysmal, terrible. So So I might leave him out
they don't
right
like,
now.
You say they criticize Sharp?
They criticize Sharp in Houston like no other. Like, it's almost as bad as Tony Romo. How he gets criticized in Big D. Like,
wow.
I was talking to my neighbor the other day, coming out the house. I was at my mom's house. I came out the house, and I'm a Cowboys fan. He's a Texas fan. And he always criticizes Tony Romo, how Tony Romo is bad. And he said, I can't stand Sharp neither. We need to get rid of him. I was like, why do you say that? I mean, I've never seen, Sharp is not a mobile quarterback. We know that. You know what you got in Sharp. But he's not the type of player that's going to give games away. Now, he might not go out and win the game for you like a Tom Brady, because we can't put him in the same boat as a Tom Brady. But he's not going to give the game away, and he's going to always have his team in position to win the game and have somebody else step up and make a big play for him. That's the type of quarterback I see in Matt Schaub, so I've always liked him. But Houston fans, now I'm not going to say all Houston fans dislike Matt Schaub, but a lot of fans out here in Houston dislike him. They don't like Matt Schaub as their quarterback. They feel like they need a quarterback that can get around, move around, and do some other things on the field.
Now, we're talking about criticizing quarterbacks. We're going to stay tuned here to the Tony Sands Show. We're going to take a commercial break, and let's see why the mass media is not criticizing Cam Newton like they're doing Matt Schaub and Ryan Tannehill. Stay tuned here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to take a commercial break, and we're coming back to see why Newton ain't getting nuked here on the Tony Sands Show.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you gotta get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show, and we're talking criticism of the quarterback position. This is a quarterback-driven league, B, as we know it is a quarterback-driven league. But now let's get into it, because a lot of people are saying Cam Newton is not taking the criticism like Ryan Tannehill, and as like you're saying Matt Schaub is taking in Houston. Why do you think he's not taking the criticism that the rest of these guys are taking here in his third year? Why is he not getting the same type of criticism that these other quarterbacks that is expected to have their team winning is taking when he still hasn't produced a winner in his team yet?
Well, I disagree, Tony, in some way, because I've heard different analysts and, sports broadcasters, criticize Cam Newton for his play, like last year with the pouting at the, the podium after the games, after losses or whatever, and his attitude on the field, and people saying that he's a selfish quarterback. He doesn't want to do anything, but he wants everything on him. He wants to run the ball. But at the same time, Cam Newton doesn't have any weapons over there besides Steve Smith and maybe D'Angelo Williams in the backfield.
Correct.
And,
correct.
He can't do it all by himself. And they're just now starting to come along on the defensive side of the ball. Last year, their defense was terrible.
Correct.
So, I've heard people criticize Cam. Now, this week one, he played terrible. And it's crazy. He's my fantasy quarterback. And I thought that he would play a lot better against, the Seattle Seahawks with that defensive line being so depleted right now. Now, they still have the secondary still back there with, Sherman and Browner, and, the two safeties. But those linebackers can't just stop him on his own. But he didn't play a great game. He only had about 125 yards. I think that was, like, one of his lowest totals, since his rookie season. And they only scored 7 points. But
yes,
like I said, he only had Steve Smith, and Steve Smith is getting up in age. And I don't know how much longer he's going to have him. They have to get this man some help over in Carolina. They have to.
But the criticism.
They won't be able to do it by itself.
But how long are the natives will stay restless and justify that he does not have enough weapons? They're looking at, when you look at, you know, I hear some people saying, look at Andrew Luck. You got to figure, they thought Indianapolis was depleted of talent. They thought Indianapolis was depleted of talent. Reggie Wayne was getting old. They had to draft some young guys. And look at what he's done with the Colts.
But at the same time, Andrew Luck has had some receivers or some players to step up. They've grown. They've matured. I'm talking about T.Y. Hilton. You know, he's become an opposite of, you know, Reggie Wayne. He's become a good receiver at the end of the day. He makes plays for Andrew Luck, and Andrew Luck is a great. I don't want to say great, but I almost want to say great because this guy is unbelievable.
But is Andrew Luck? Is these guys growing up, or is Andrew Luck lifting these guys up?
I think it's a little bit of the both. I think he's giving them their confidence because they watch him back there, you know, and he's becoming one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. And that's what they said when they drafted Andrew Luck, that he will become, you know, one of the best quarterbacks to play the game. That's what all the scouts, you know, that's the grades that they gave him. And we're seeing him grow before us, you know, into this good quarterback. And when he's, and like I said, some of his receivers have matured and become who they need to be and are making plays for him to become that good quarterback that he needs. Cam Newton hasn't had the fame over in Carolina. I don't think that Rivera is a great, you know, head coach. I think he's more of a defensive coordinator. So if he can't, you know, get that team to, you know, achieve better or become a better team, then he won't be back next year. I doubt it if they get rid of Cam, because the talent that he has and that we know, that we've seen him, you know, seen in him, I doubt that they'll be able to get rid of him, because he'll go somewhere else and kill with a better coach, a coach that can help him grow as a player, you know. But Ron Rivera, it's not happening with him over there right now in Cam. He's not making Cam better.
But did the loss of Krzyzewski hurt Cam Newton? On to Cleveland, did that hurt Cam Newton?
I believe so. I think it did, you know, in a way. But at the end of the day, Cam Newton's the one on the field right now. He's the one out there playing. And that's why I hate to see coaches get fired, because the players are underachieving. Yeah, it is their job to motivate them, to make them better. But at the same time, they cannot go on the field and make the plays for them. All they can do is put them in the best position to make those plays. And if they don't make the plays, then what can you do? You know, there's nothing that they can really do. Cam has to go out there and make the plays. And or the receivers that he has, or the running backs he has, the team has to go out there and help him make plays for that team.
Now, you know, you speak on being fired, and you say you don't like coaches again being fired. Let's drop back down to the college league. You know, today, Grambling State fired Coach Doug Williams after losing two games.
I didn't know that.
They fired him. They let him go.
Doug Williams?
What's that?
You said Doug Williams? The winning quarterback for the Washington Redskins?
They fired one of their most prolific alum. They fired Doug Williams.
That's unbelievable. You know, it's kind of hard. I'm not even grasping that, because what he has done for that program. And, yeah, granted, they have been down in the SWAC as of recently. You know, they haven't been winning like they were, you know, previous years. But, you know, I'm kind of like, it kind of caught me off guard. You saying that they let him go? I hadn't read that. That hadn't came across my news feed today. I'm gonna have to go look into that and figure out why.
The Associated Press is right now. The Associated Press is putting it out. It was done about around 4 o'clock this afternoon, and this is some of the. This is coming from the president of Grambling State. We recognize Doug Williams' many contributions to our football legacy, and we express our deepest appreciation for his service to Grambling State University. And we wish him well in the future. Grambling State president.
Oh, man. That's crazy. And I'm a fan of Doug. You know, I like him. You know, I've always liked Doug Williams. He actually was one of the coaches that helped were trying to recruit me out of high school. You know, me hearing this right now, it's like, it's crazy. Like, I hadn't heard this. I hadn't even read it. And my mom, she's big on sports radio, and she didn't even come home the day after work and say it to me. She always giving me different, you know, information that she heard on the radio, asking me about different things that were going on in the sports world, and she failed to mention that.
You got to figure last season. Yeah, Grambling was 0-9 in the South, in the SWAC. There was 0-9. Right. Then we come to this year, and they're 0-2. They lose to Alabama A&M 23-9, and they got dominated by Louisiana Monroe 48-10 last weekend. And with that taking place, and it boils back to this, there's no loyalty in big money college football. It's what have you done for me lately? I don't care if you was an alumni and you took us to the promised land all through the year. It's what have you done for me lately? And it really shows in this situation. I don't think, and here's another situation to where they don't have the athletes to perform. They don't have the athletes. They don't have the athletes there. They just don't have them.
And the SWAC, it's a different level of football, you know. I always wanted to play Division I football, and that's the reason why I didn't choose to go to a SWAC school to play. You know, I felt like I was better than that, but that was just me being an arrogant kid at the time. But football is football, but you are definitely correct. That level of football, you know, and I guess in Grambling, they just don't have the same type of talent that you see at Ole Miss or the LSUs or the Texas. You know, they just don't have the talent. And I guess that's what's been going on recently at Grambling. They just haven't had the talent to compete in the SWAC.
And, you know, you got to figure that at one point, like you said, Grambling was the black college. Grambling was black
upper echelon of black HBCUs, you know. That was the upper echelon.
It was the thing that was to do at that point. If you couldn't get the D1 and you had to go down to HBCUs, you wanted to go to Grambling.
Right.
That was before the Alabama's, A&M, the Alabama States, the FAMU. FAMU was up there, but Grambling and Southern was two of those top teams at that echelon when you talk about black college football. Because I heard about Grambling, and I live here in Florida, but I heard about Grambling and Southern game before I even knew about the game between Bethune and FAM. Because that game was the one that was first broadcast on television, Southern and Grambling.
I've attended a couple of those games, and those games are, you know, that's almost, I guess the talent level was not there, but as far as the fan bases are concerned, it's almost like Division I schools when you go to that Bayou Classic and you at the Superdome in New Orleans. It's crazy enough.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. That I had never been to a black college big classic game. I had never been to one, you know, because I grew up, you know, looking at Division I. I went to a Division I, so I only believed that there was one type of football, and that was Division I, because I was around Division I football. But I tell you to this day, the best time that I had, and I've been to a lot of pro games, I've been to a lot of top-notch college football games, played in a lot. But the best time I had was when I went to my first Florida Classic. When I went to my first Florida Classic between FAM and Bethune, I had a ball. And the reason why I had a ball, and I'm going to tell you, it was because I got an opportunity to go to a game to where I saw people of my color enjoying what I see as college football, which I know then everybody was worrying about when the band was going to come up, because I saw the reversal. I saw people going to the concession stand during the game, but in their seats when the band played. And that's the reversal of when you go to the big schools. It's the flip. Right. You are going to the concession during the band and in your seats during the game. So that kind of blew my mind. But, man, I had a ball. I had a ball, and I didn't have to worry about the fights, nobody shooting, nobody stepping on nobody's foot, wondering if this or that was going to happen. I had a great time. I had a great time.
Definitely. I always attend black college games. Just for that, you know, that the atmosphere is a lot different than, you know, the big Division I schools, like you said, with the band. You know, it's almost like a party with a football game going on, you know.
Exactly. And like you say,
you have a great time. And you do have some nonsense going on from time to time, but at the end of the day, everybody's having a good time. There's a game going on. You get to see the bands perform at halftime, the battle with
exactly.
the band. And it's just a great atmosphere.
We got about 30 seconds before we go off the air. B-Man, it's been a great show. But give me your prediction on tomorrow's game between the New York Jets and the New England Patriots. Can Geno Smith pull out a win?
I'm pulling for Geno. Geno got lucky last week with that personal foul call. But he showed me something in him that I didn't think that he had at the NFL level. And I hope that the Jets win. They have a better defense than the Buffalo Bills. And I think that they'll be able, hopefully they'll be able to pull it up. It'll be close. And I think that the Jets win.
I'm going with the genius, Bill Belichick. I got to go with Bill Belichick in the genius. Hey, it's been a special show. We talked about quarterbacks being criticized, quarterbacks being praised. People, continue to uplift your life to where you can be praised here on this 9/11 day. Be thankful that you are still alive on this day here at 9/11. Until then, we'll see them later. Our listening fans, we'll hit y'all back next week. Signing off to the Tony Sands Show, myself and Mr. B.
Peace. Folks.